Yeah, I know, very nice to see you. And now,
I'm glad you could make it tonight. We're very much looking forward to hearing your talk. Just a few questions before then. So what is the reason that you live in the USA?
Well, mainly because I teach at Harvard, so I have to live in the USA.
Okay.
When I taught in Delhi, I lived in Delhi.
Right.
And now I teach in Harvard. I live in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Right.
When I was teaching in Oxford and LSE,
okay.
I lived in England. So it depends on that.
And your focus is on economic theories across the world? No.
I teach economics, I teach philosophy.
Right.
Last year I taught a postgraduate course in mathematics.
Mm.
Next year I'm teaching a postgraduate course in medicine.
Okay.
So I vary my subject matter, since I'm interested in a number of subjects.
And then my next question was, obviously, how do you feel about Modi winning the 2014?
Well, I was, he was not my favorite candidate, people know that, since I did give interviews on that. So, but he has now won. India is a democracy. So, you know, I think he has a right to govern, and he hasn't yet announced his policies, so we'll have to examine them. And if we have some critical things to say on that, that should be based on understanding of what he is announcing that he is going to do, rather than expectation as to what he would do. That would be very unfair to him, and it would be also not a very good intellectual exercise, because any critique must be based on actual policies chosen by the new Prime Minister.
So what is the one thing that you think he should do to...
I don't think there's only one thing. Basically, there's an approach.
Yeah.
Namely, the approach has to be that there's nothing as important both for spreading the fruits of economic growth and for making economic growth sustainable and to enhance it than the development of human capability that requires educational expansion, requires healthcare, both of which are in a mess in India. And it's not much better in Gujarat. It's much better in places like Tamil Nadu, Kerala, Himachal Pradesh, which, by the way, was among the poorer Indian states. Now, these three, which have focused on education and healthcare, are among the top five Indian states in terms of per capita income.
Right.
And in addition to being among the top in life expectancy, low mortality, low fertility, and so on. So that's the line in which I think Indian policy has to be reshaped. And I hope that's what the present government will do.
Why is it that the Indian middle classes don't really show much interest in these subjects, and they're much more driven by pure economic growth?
Well, I think because as far as the relatively prosperous sections of Indians are concerned, of which there are many, like 200 or 300 million people, their lives do improve with per capita income going up, whether or not schools exist and hospitals see patients, because they manage all right on the basis of their superior income ability.
Right.
So I think that's no reason why they shouldn't worry about others.
Yeah.
For example, the elimination of famines in India after India became a democracy wasn't because everyone is likely to become a famine victim, but people sympathize with famine victims in a way they have not, well, have had that noticeable amount of fellow feeling towards the people who get very bad school or no school at all, or very bad medical care. So is there any way of getting the... I worried about the tea at the bottom.
Yes.
Do you have a...
Tissue, I'll get a tissue.
Tissue, yeah.
Sorry.
How can they ensure the growth is more inclusive?
Pardon?
How can the government ensure the growth is inclusive?
Well, and also growth is sustained. You need that. Well, I think there's nothing as good for sustaining and sharing economic growth than having an educated, healthy labor force.
But what's wrong with the education?
Well, they haven't gotten it. They haven't done it. That's what's wrong with it.
They haven't educated.
I mean, the education, the schools are very bad and quite far between. Hospital system is very badly organized. I'm afraid you may have to read my book jointly with John Dres called An Uncertain Glory, India and its Contradiction, which discusses these issues in some detail.
You know the stock market has had a lot of portfolio flow of money, the Modi fever on the Nifty. And
you would expect that, of course.
Yeah. Is it sustainable? Is it going to last? Or
that we don't know. Right. That would depend on what happened. But was there anything surprising that the stock market would be booming at this stage,
yeah,
a month after the election? No, nothing surprising. But the difficult days are yet to come. But the stock market is only one way of judging things.
Yeah.
There are other indicators.
What are the main ones?
Well, people's life expectancy, their mortality rate, their literacy rate, their ability to read and write and count and calculate, India's performance in the competitive tests like PISA, dreadful. On top of that, which many people, PISA, P-I-S-A. Yeah.
Okay, so those kind of things. What about FDI? Is FDI more important than portfolio for India's development?
No, FDI is just it's one of the means. Sometimes it's very useful, sometimes it's not. You can't generalize about FDI.
Are we seeing the right levels of investment in India?
No, we don't know that.
You don't know?
No, it depends on what the composition of that is.
Right.
Very much so. I mean, there are education, healthcare, there's a lot that one can do in international collaboration.
Right.
And mainly giving jobs and employment would be very important.